Now, this is the plan. Get your ass to Mars.
That's right. That is, in fact, the plan, the presidential plan. President Obama, in an op-ed published on CNN, gave his support this week for American efforts to bring humans to Mars and back by the 2030s, with the ultimate goal of keeping humans there for an extended stay. Now, Mars will be at the top of the agenda tomorrow in Pittsburgh, where President Obama will host the first ever White House Frontiers Conference. And the administration's support is just part of a broader wave of enthusiasm for the Red Planet by NASA, by the movies, and private innovators like Elon Musk and SpaceX. At the end of August, six NASA-selected crew members completed their year-long mission in the Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation Project, otherwise known as High Seas, not on Mars, on the Big Island in Hawaii, where they spent one full year simulating the first human habitat on Mars. Carmel Johnson was on that mission. She was a crew commander for High Seas and spoke to the takeaway from her base back in Montana about what it would be really like for a small crew to go to Mars and to live there.
It's about changing your life entirely and living a life that's different than you would on Earth. And so you have to change the way that you deal with people with different situations and stressful situations. You have to change the way that you exercise, the way you cook food, the way you deal with having your own personal time or not having personal time. So adjusting to all of that and then being able to maintain your sanity while you have all these new things going on in your life is definitely a very challenging part of being on a mission like that.
Jason Kendall is here. He's adjunct professor of astronomy at William Patterson University. Jason, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So we've seen this resurgence in the last couple years of Mars scientific fantasizing in movies and books and popular culture. Of course, when the Matt Damon movie, The Martian, came out, we were aware that NASA helped coordinate the science of that storytelling. The government has a stake in the public getting excited about being part of missions like this.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the whole Matt, the movie, The Martian, the book were fantastic things. They're just, you couldn't have asked for something better to kind of help motivate people. I mean, my students, they talk about it. It's like something that's part of the culture now is actually going to Mars is something that people who are very young are actually thinking about. And I think that's fantastic.
What do you think President Obama is up to here? We have the Frontiers Conference in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Mars is going to be a big part of it. I think that Barack Obama knows that we're going to Mars eventually, and he's looking forward to his legacy, and he wants to be the Jack Kennedy of Mars, the way that Kennedy spurred the country on to go to the moon, and now he gets the credit for it.
I think there's nothing exactly wrong with that. I think that he wants to be able to take that credit, but it really is going to be such a different venture than going to the moon, completely different. Going to the moon is only 200,000 miles away, roughly, and the Mars is like millions of miles away, tens of millions, and people got to stay in space for months at a time and live on the surface of Mars for many months at a time and then fly back for months at a time. It's not a trivial venture. These are incredibly difficult technical things to solve. Which lead to, of course, technical opportunities to solve. I mean, one of the major problems, I think that when I give public talks about Mars, one of the most interesting things is that people say, well, what's a big problem for astronauts? They have bone loss. So how to actually cure bone loss so that you actually, when you get to Mars, you don't step out of a spacecraft and crack your ankle because you got osteoporosis. Think about that. There's certain things that if we start sending people up into space and living in space and actually going to Mars or going to the moon, we're going to have a lot of things that we'll be solving for problems back on Earth as well.
So we have this outside competition model now of private companies like SpaceX. There are others that are gunning for Mars. Eventually, there's going to have to be a coordination of effort, right? How do you manage an independent actor with its own money, its own motivations, its own leader who has his own priorities, and a government effort with its scientific imperatives? At a certain point, the competition model is going to have to merge. It seems like it could be dicey.
I think it may very well be dicey, but I think that there's some good hope to it because there's a lot of models for that, I believe, in terms of legal aspects. It's like how government starts a certain venture and then basically passes it off to private ventures. And so there's a sense of actually trying to fold them in because at this time, there's no way for an individual company, I believe, to actually get to Mars on its own. Now, they're going to need a significant amount of public help as well. And they all acknowledge that. But that's not a bad thing. It's like, well, okay, we'll give you this hand. We have the resources. We have the technology. We can build it and then send people off. And I think that eventually what we'll find is that the private entrances, the private in, the private ideas, the private options will be the things that people really are most interested in. Because it's like, well, bring back a rock from Mars and sell it here on Earth. You know, people having a piece of Mars for themselves, or even mining rights on asteroids or Mars itself, or even, you know, maybe in 100 years from today, a nice place to go vacation.
So this Frontiers conference in Pittsburgh, we've, I think, fairly established that this is a legacy building exercise for Barack Obama. But it's not only that. What are you most interested in scientifically or even logistically from a conference like this?
I think the first step for the logistics of the conference is setting down the people that are going to go. You really want to motivate people who are in their teens and their 20s to say, I want to be the next person that's going to get that rocket to Mars and get those people to Mars. Because the thing is that most people won't go to Mars. It's going to be a very small number of people that ever go to Mars. We're talking less than a few hundred in the whole history of humanity if we do go to Mars. So we have to build an enormous infrastructure of people that will say, I want that to happen. And that's kind of like what people are doing with the high seas mission, where they go to Mars, where they go to, quote, Mars.
Mars in Hawaii.
Mars in Hawaii, exactly. So the whole Mars in Hawaii thing is, I'm going to go there, play like I'm on Mars. And those people aren't going to Mars. But what they're doing is they're setting the groundwork for what it's like to live on Mars. And they went through enormous hardships. And what they're telling us is they're showing us that people, when they really are, you know, when you're really smart and you're really dedicated and we're trying to actually do something that actually is way above what you ever thought you could do. So it's a wonderful class of people, a group of people that really are trying to make a lot of things happen.
You know, Jason Kendall, we started the show talking about political divisions, the election, which we do almost every day. We have to. This is a story that you're telling about national cohesion, the type of thing that an entire nation or even entire world
yes.
can get behind.
Yes,
there's a real
is.
Opportunity there.
Yeah, it's a thing that – remember when I was very young and I saw this on the televisions watching the Apollo missions and hearing the reports about people watching the TVs all over the world? That'll happen again with Mars. When we set people on Mars, everything will stop. Everyone will watch. Everyone will be seeing the streaming video coming from their cam helmets. Everything will be on them. And the problems will just kind of, for that moment, for that glorious moment, will fade away. For that moment. But then they'll come back, as they always do. But I think you're right. I think they will. It's a unifier.
We'll realize that we're together here.
That's right. We'll look back on Earth, and it won't just be a disk like was from the moon. It'll be a tiny dot in the sky, barely visible.
Jason Kendall is adjunct professor of astronomy at William Patterson University, friend of The Takeaway, of course. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.